Official, it's Danielle Fischel,
Ryder Strong,
and Will Friedle from Pod Meets World.
Does friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste.
Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten.
Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party.
So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles.
Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two wheels. Joining me as ever this week is Motorsport Network's global MotoGP editor Oriol Puigdemont, and I am your host, Autosport's motorcycle racing correspondent Lewis Duncan. We are now 1 month down the road from KTM's shock announcement that Johann Zarco will be leaving the team at the end of the year, but we are still no closer to knowing who his replacement will be for the 2020 MotoGP season. However, an unlikely candidate from the World Superbike paddock has emerged as a potential favourite for the seat in the form of ex-MotoGP rider Alvaro Bautista. And before we get into his potential deal in World Superbikes next year and that sort of thing, I was having a think about this over the weekend during the Portimao round, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, actually, Bautista's not a bad option. Very experienced in MotoGP, of course. Very instrumental in helping develop that Aprilia project in its early days. Took that brand new Ducati V4 Panigale to 11 Superbike wins on the bounce in his rookie season. You know, KTM are short of options. Bautista's not a bad one if you actually look at his CV.
I'm convinced that Bautista is a good option for KTM. I mean, can be a good option for KTM, but I'm not really sure if KTM looks the same way. I think that considering the difficulties of the project, the complexity of this MotoGP project, they are trying to keep their philosophy, especially after what happened with Zarco. That's why I think that the most logical move would be to promote a rider who has been doing well, which to me would be Oliveira. But at the moment, this complete silence about that. I mean, it's like the classic KTM style. No filtrations, no nothing. Let's see what happens. But to me, of course, Bautista, after what happened this year, after what he has demonstrated this year in World Superbikes, he is a really good option. But to me, it looks unprobably that he will get this bike.
We'll talk about why in just a second, but the problem KTM still have is that Oliveira is for most people the logical option, but Tech 3 is insistent that KTM has promised Oliveira to them for next year. You have to think that KTM can overrule whatever Tech 3 thinks, but then of course that leaves the problem of who Tech 3 take. But
do you really think that KTM is a threat for? I mean, that Tech 3 is a threat for KTM? I don't think so.
I don't. There's clearly a fairly strong case Hervé Poncharal is making to keep Oliveira, because otherwise we think KTM would have just announced that news straight away. So it's a very strange situation how they've got this great rider, but they haven't done anything about it yet. And going back to Bautista, if he was to be taken to KTM, it kind of puts him in a bit of a bind for 2021, because the likelihood of Bautista staying on that ride, I don't think KTM would really entertain that. They would definitely take Oliveira for 2021 if they can't get him next year. So it kind of seems to me as well like...
Yeah, that's the main problem for KTM, that they need that one-year deal.
Yeah.
So the rider who's going to accept that challenge will have to be aware that it's a one-year shot. So yeah. Because in the end of 2020, all the top riders are going to finalize their contracts. So it means that everybody will be in the market again. So it could be a one-hit wonders or a one-year wonder.
Yeah,
or...
yeah, exactly. That's a very good way to put it. And you have to think as well that one of those KTMs, whatever happens, is reserved for Paul Espargaro. You know, KTM would be pretty silly to get rid of him going forward. That's He's done a lot of work in the bike.
Yeah, that's what even Dani Pedrosa has said. He has made it really clear to KTM, listen, guys, you have to keep this guy because what he's been doing on this bike is amazing. So you have to keep Paul because he's doing an amazing job, and keep growing with this bike. I mean, Danny still believed that I spoke with some of his environment, and they say, listen, this bike is completely different than the Honda. It's much more complicated. What does it mean? But he says that it's much more complicated to understand because in the end it's much more new than the Honda. The Honda heritage in the end is the same. I mean, you know that you're gonna have a really, really powerful bike, and you know that's the Honda core. But with the KTM, as it is a new project, it's really a new, I mean, new philosophy, a completely new bike.
If you think one seat's already gone, that second factory KTM for 2021 will go to a KTM rider of some form, whether that's Oliveira, whether that's, you know, Brad Binder or someone like that. Bautista then, he never wanted to leave MotoGP for this year. I remember that press conference at Silverstone last year when they announced the Sepang Racing Team. I remember the pre-event press conference where Bautista was visibly quite annoyed at the fact that they'd gone for this then unproven rookie in Fabio Quartararo. I don't think Bautista would be willing to accept just a one-year MotoGP deal because he's clearly good enough to be in MotoGP full-time. He did prove that in his time there. Maybe at the Aspar team he didn't quite reach his full potential on that bike, but I think he's good enough to be in that midfield battle for a long time, more than just one season.
Would Bautista accept to fight in the midfield battle again after what happened in the first 11, or, you know, after winning 11 races in a row? It sounds a bit difficult because once a rider make the switch, I think it's very difficult for him to accept coming back, mm-hmm. you know, to the midfield, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it sounds a bit strange to me that he's going to leave Ducati, because in the end, you have to make a gamble and say, okay, this manufacturer has allowed me to show all my potential in World Superbikes. So why changing direction? I don't know. I mean, he will have, for sure, he will explain the reasons why, but it looks a bit strange to me. I mean,
yeah, this is the thing that a lot of the World Superbike riders over the weekend in Portugal said when asked about it. World champion Jonathan Rea said the same thing. He's found it completely strange that this Ducati partnership with Alvaro has ended. I quickly spoke to Paolo Cibatti, Ducati boss at Silverstone, and he confirmed to me that Bautista has signed a two-year contract with a rival manufacturer, was his quote, which we believe is Honda. Honda, HRC came back to World Superbike this year and has stripped back development role with with the Moriwaki team. It's a strange project that apparently none of the riders this year were apparently allowed to do any setup changes to the bike. It's a really strange one. But the whole point of that was that Honda are going to come back next year with a full factory effort, with a brand new superbike. You know, first proper HRC effort in the series since Colin Edwards won the championship in 2002. And Bautista apparently has been signed to be the man to spearhead that, although of course with he's not confirmed that. He wouldn't confirm where he was going over the weekend. Of course, this KTM thing has obviously created some sort of a challenge to that happening.
As far as I know, this is what's going to happen. But at the same time, we have to think that the Honda World Superbike project will be completely different than this year. I mean, they are trying to build up a new team with new people inside because they know that this organization, it was a bit messy. So with many parts involved, Moriwaki, Honda, and Altea guys. So yeah, it is a too much parts involved in the same project. So, you know, when this happened, too many directions. Honda as HRC wants to try to keep the control of the project. Maybe we will have a project, a new bike, more similar to the Ducati, like we all know that it's been called like the MotoGP adapted to the World Superbike rules and regulation, which will be really good because then we will have three potential winning bikes.
There have been some rumours that this Honda project has been delayed somewhat. Apparently, the new bike was supposed to have been announced already. It's not been so far. We're not even sure of the details of what this bike will be like. Some have said it'll be a V4, but a lot of people think actually it'll be more of an inline 4 engine. There's all sorts of things going on behind the scenes that we don't know yet. It seems to be there's problems getting everything together, which has of course led to this Bautista delay. But how much do you think, you know, Chibati's convinced he's signed a 2-year deal already. It seems there's some paddock gossip that suggests that he's agreed a deal, but he's not signed anything yet, which of course would leave the door open for going back to MotoGP if KTM offered. It's a very strange situation, but from what it looked like being nailed on, it looks further apart than what it did before the summer break.
Well, if I have to believe to my information, I spoke when all those rumors came up in the last few days, not in the last few days, but in the last weeks, I called Bautista's manager, Simone, which is the same as Dobby, and Valdassarri, and I asked him directly, and he told me, Uri, this KTM thing is not going to happen. If he's lying to me, I wouldn't. I mean, I don't think so, because he's always been very honest and very, yeah, clear and direct. So, to me, and don't forget that he underlined that KTM has never knocked the door. So that's why I have. Yeah, I trust him, and I say, listen, if this guy make this answer so directly, I don't have reasons to say. He doesn't say that the deal with Honda is signed, but he says that in the last few weeks he has been saying that the deal was very close. So I think that is what's going to happen.
Mm. I'm inclined to agree with you. From everything we've heard over, you know, the summer, that this Honda deal is going to happen, it seems like everything's gotten a bit further apart than where we were before, but it does seem all directions point to that. But just as a hypothetical, say KTM don't take Oliveira in the end, or they can't take Oliveira in the end, do you think KTM would perhaps regret not approaching Bautista to take that seat?
Yeah, but it depends on who will be the number two rider. But at the same time, don't forget what happened with Zarco. I mean, if they can regret, yeah, but I don't think it's completely fair to say that they're gonna regret, because nobody would have expected Zarco to to struggle that much in a KTM after what he was doing with the Yamaha. So it shows how difficult the KTM is, and I'm really interested on knowing what's the KTM decision. Even for me, the Tektra decision, if KTM finally takes Oliveira, promotes Oliveira to the factory team, even the Tektra decision will be very, very interesting, because apparently the bikes, the four bikes, are really, really, really similar. I mean, they are testing many things, and Hervé told me in the last race that, yeah, he's completely happy with the material he's getting from KTM, because he can say that, okay, maybe the bikes are slightly different, but it's because the evolution weighs, not because of the budget or whatever. So the four bikes are really similar at the same level. So yeah, it makes even more interesting the decision on who's going to be in that bike.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, Tech 3, you've got is that there aren't any other KTM Moto 2 riders that have actually done anything particularly decent this year. I mean, reigning Moto 3 champion Jorge Martin has struggled this year on the IO bike. You know, Bezzecchi and Philip Oertel have struggled on the Tech 3 KTM. You know, Iker Lekuona has been pretty good, but he's already secured his future for next year in Moto 2. So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago at Silverstone, that we thought, well, the logical option is Mika Kallio, but yes, KTM have got Dani Pedrosa as a test rider, but Kallio is the main KTM test rider, and if they put him in a race situation, you know, if you know, we saw this in Germany a couple of years ago when Mika got injured and he had to sit out the rest of the season, couldn't test anything. You have to think that KTM must be thinking, we cannot risk putting Mika on a race bike for 20 races, because we need him. He's better off, you know, yeah, testing but don't away forget. From the circuits.
Don't forget that now they have Danny.
Yeah.
They have a lot of trust on him, and they have already declared that what Danny says, it is an amazing input from the bike. Even Paul has said that, whoa, what Danny says, he has this, this special sensibility on the bike. And it's really helped them. So if they have to take a risk, I think that Kallio is an acceptable risk. And don't forget that for him will be like a gift, a present, after many, many, many months and years of work. I think he would be delighted to be on that second bike.
Yeah, and of course, I think he was quite upset.
Don't forget that next year we're supposed to go to Finland.
Well, yeah, that's true as well. You have to think, even if he wasn't on a full-time bike, he would be getting a wild card out now. But yeah, I mean, it is a good point about Mika, because I think he was quite disappointed that he was passed over for a KTM ride some years ago. So with all that being said then, if Kallio does go to Tech 3, you think that Pedrosa would then be able to step up his testing role even more and, you know, test a bit more than he is doing right now?
I think he's really, really, really happy of doing this. I mean, in an interview with Servus, the Red Bull TV, he has underlined and he has keep saying that he's happier than ever at the moment, because he has get rid of all this pressure that he hated. In a way, he was like, not same, but in a way he was like stoner. I mean, he was not comfortable with all that pressure. So at the moment, he can ride a bike, which is his passion, but without this extra pressure that the races put on you. And that's why I mean, first answer, no, I'm not going to replace Zarco. I'm very happy on this challenge, and I'm gonna keep doing the test duties.
It's interesting you mentioned Stoner, because it's like KTM have gotten what Ducati and Honda couldn't get out of Casey when he was test rider for them. It seems that KTM have they've made it work. They've gotten this top amazing rider to be a great test rider and to be happy in that role, whereas Stoner always, he didn't really test so much, and then of course relationships broke down with Honda and Ducati. It seemed as though Casey couldn't really turn off Casey, if that makes sense. It was still very much,
yeah, you know, the thing with
that,
Casey,
that big ego.
The thing with Casey is that he's one of the fastest ever.
Oh, for sure.
But maybe is not the best for a test rider. I mean, I remember speaking with Danny. He says, "Whoa, Casey was fast with, I mean, any kind of bike he was riding when they both were in HRC." I mean, Danny was unable to ride Casey's bike, but Casey was really, really, really fast, almost the same with Danny's bike than with his bike. Which means that his feedback for an evolution a moment and project maybe is not the best. He's one of the fastest ever riders, but at the same time, maybe his indications are not the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, this is interesting because this is something Cal Crutchlow has talked about before, the fact that the problem Honda have had for so many years is the fact that they had Casey on the bike and then they have Marquez on the bike, and of course, they're not normal people, they're not normal riders, they don't ride bikes in a normal way, and they can ride around any problem that the bike, I mean, we've seen that this year with Mark, and I mean, I count two of his world championships came on bikes that were fairly easier to ride, you know, but if you think about 2016, you think about last year and the year before, this year as well, the bikes he's been on have not been easy to ride, and we see that with the other Honda riders, they've struggled a lot.
I mean, I think we can talk about it, I mean, for hours, yeah. but I think that it's difficult to put it in a balanced way, because we can say, whoa, Honda is in trouble. No, Honda is not in trouble, because
as long as they've got Marquez, they're gonna be fine.
I mean, if Honda is in trouble, the others are in a hole.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can say, okay, what happened if... Okay, so Honda is trying to make this bike more balanced, less critical. But it doesn't mean that Honda is in trouble. I mean, trouble in compared with which other manufacturer. Because if Honda is in trouble, Yamaha is lost in the past. Ducati the same. So I wouldn't say it's a bit difficult to put Honda in you know, to say, whoa, they are in trouble. As if you listen to Carl or if you listen to Jorge, they are trying to show or to underline that Honda is in trouble. Why? Because they are interested on changing the bike's philosophy, which is understandable and normal. But don't forget, and Honda knows that Mark is winning a lot of races with this bike, and as long as you have the world champion and he's winning with that bike, I mean, having one and two for most of the races, I wouldn't say that they are in trouble.
Mm. Oh, we've spoken about this a lot, you know, if, and you've written about it as well, if Marquez was to decide to leave. Let's just say that next year contracts come around and Marquez announces, I'm fed up with Honda, I'm going to go somewhere else. Do you
this
think...
It's not going to happen next year.
I don't think so either, but just let's say, just okay, for a bit of fun, do you think then that Danny Pedrosa and Honda falling out at the end of last year and Honda not wanting Pedrosa as a test rider, do you think... In a bid to make that bike easier to ride, do you think if Marquez was to leave, that Honda have shot themselves in the foot there?
I wouldn't say that by keeping Danny, Honda would follow Danny's way instead of Mark's way, you know? I wouldn't say that Danny would have made this huge change, because I mean, if you, as long as you keep the world champion, you have to follow his way. Despite you having Danny as a test rider, it doesn't mean that you will follow Danny's direction, because I mean, we have seen it in the last 5 years, so they are completely different riders, and if Honda has to follow away, I can't blame them to follow Mark's way, because he's the reigning champion and all these things.
Yeah. Let's just go back to World Superbikes for a minute, because I want to get your thoughts on something. We have another MotoGP rider going over, or former MotoGP rider going over to World Superbikes next year in the form of Scott Redding. I think Scott's the kick up the backside World Superbike needs. He's young, he's fast, and he's, you know, World Superbike has a problem with its Brits in that they're very well mannered. They're not really up for getting into any sort of on track, you know, shouting matches or anything like that. Scott, I'm not saying Scott's going to come in and just to cause chaos, but Scott seems like that, you know, just bit of excitement the World Superbike needs.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that what the Scott decision last year is pretty remarkable. I mean, I would say that bottom line, I mean, on his brain, he says, okay, I need to feel myself a rider again. So I don't care about all the politics. I'm not going to play this game. I just need to enjoy riding a bike again, be in a less pressure environment, and try to, you know, to be myself, to recover my DNA. And then I will come back. So that's what happened. And to me, I think now he's much more confident. He has much more self-confidence at the moment. He's fast. And he's much more mature, despite his social media stuff.
Yeah.
On track, I would say that he's much more mature than in the past. So I'm really looking forward to see him racing World Superbikes.
Yeah, I mean, whether you subscribe to the Litty Committee, as he likes to talk about on social, on Instagram, whatever that is, I don't know. I have no idea. But it was an unprecedented move he made to be. You know, he struggled on the Aprilia, but Scott's talent's unquestionable in MotoGP. He's a podium finisher in MotoGP. To go back to British superbikes, you know, he might be British, but these are tracks he doesn't know. Alton yeah. Park, Cadwell Park, really difficult, nadgery, tight tracks where, you know, he's been quite critical of them in the past, thinking, you know, they're well too dangerous. But he's come into this series, he's a championship contender coming into this showdown final three races that we have, or final three rounds that we have. You know, he's going to go to World Superbikes, and he's going to do what Bautista did at the start of this year. He's going to go there, he's going to go on that bike, and he's just going to be quick straight away. They're not going to have a chance to catch him in those first couple of rounds, because he'll have that hunger driving him to victory at Phillip Island, at Thailand. And, you know, you have to think Jonathan Rea's going to be there, but the Honda project's going to need a few rounds. The BMW is still getting up to pace. I think Yamaha need a new bike, in all honesty, to be championship winners in World Superbikes. Scott's, you know, he's going to jump into that opportunity, and he's going to run away with it, I think.
Well, I'm not sure if he's going to run away, but the thing is that this hanger, he knows from where he comes. Mm-hmm. I mean, where he comes from, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he comes from the British Superbike. So for him, next year is a huge opportunity, and I'm completely sure that he's not going to ruin it. I mean, that he will get the most from this opportunity. And because it's not the same when you are in the same environment. That's why I think that it was a really good move for him to recover this hunger, this mm-hmm. strength, this, you know, power, and then say, no, I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying being a race a rider. So I'm coming back just to recover my DNA. And then next year, I will try to make the move and to show people all my abilities, my talent, and my hunger. And that's what I think we're going to see next year.
I agree. And you have to think as well, being at Ducati, Ducati are big fans of Scott Redden. They really, really like having, yeah, they liked him at Pramac, and they really are were happy that he was going to go to Paul Bird's team in British Superbikes. You have to think that being in that World Superbike position, and if he has a really, really good run at it, you know, he could very well be in line. If, you know, a Ducati rider, whether it's factory or Pramac, gets injured or they need some testing done, you know, I would, if I was, you know, someone at Ducati, I would go straight to Scott Redden thinking, we know what this guy can do on a Ducati MotoGP bike. We know what he can do on a Ducati on a superbike. You know, why not put him on a bike if we need a replacement for a weekend?
Yeah, but he has to go step by step.
Yeah, same, yeah, he can't jump into it, but...
I mean, he has... What he did, considering what he did, I think, last year, it is a good example. I mean, he needs to go step by step. And if in the end, in 2-3 years' time, he comes back to MotoGP with Ducati, he will be much stronger than in the past.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a good end of the story, but he needs to go step by step and trying to grow from and in each of the steps. So last year, coming back to the British, he grew a lot. Next year, he needs to keep growing in World Superbikes. And to me, okay, being champion is really important, but it's not the only point. It's not the, you know, I mean, Bautista has grown a lot this year, despite he won't be probably, I mean, it's very difficult. Scott has to do the same next year. I mean, if he won races, he probably will be in the title fight, but I would say that he needs to keep growing. It didn't happen in the last years in MotoGP with him. He was there, but to me, he had too much ups and downs. Too many ups and downs.
That final season for Scott as well, he was honoured the Aprilia. He was never really given a chance. He had four races to prove himself on the bike before the decision was made to sign Iannone for the following year. It wasn't a great atmosphere for him. And yeah, you're right, the fact he's gone to Britain and has just enjoyed riding again. It's so... I've always maintained that a rider that's been kicked out of MotoGP after a really bad season, there's no point going back to Moto2. You might as well go to Superbikes and try and rebuild yourself, because there's a chance you can go there and you could win. And if you end up going to World Championship and dominating World Championship, it almost seems that, like, you know, Sam Lowes or someone going back to Moto2 to try and get back into MotoGP, it seems futile.
Well, especially if you are 16th in the standings in Moto2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty difficult. So I would prefer to move to another championship and trying to rebuild yourself.
And I think it's something Dorna should look into, because what Superbikes needs is young talent, young exciting talent. I mean, we had that sort of this year with Sandro Cortese, who went to Supersport after a really bad run in Moto2, you know, and he's come up to World Superbikes. He's been really good on the Yamaha, and I think next year he'll take a step forward. You know, we need more young talent in World Superbikes. That's the problem we have. If we've got all these 30-year-old British riders that are great riders, don't get me wrong, but they're a bit boring personality-wise. We need more riders. We need more Topraks. We need more, you know, Cortese. We need people like Scott coming through. We need, you know, these firecracker European riders, young Europeans that have got that.
Yeah, but don't forget,
you know, they've got that mindset.
Don't forget that it's not easy for Dorna to handle both championships.
Yeah, yeah.
So because they know, Dorna knows that the main the most powerful championship is MotoGP, so they don't want to be a World Superbikes to be a threat to MotoGP. So for them, it's not an easy matter to keep both championships and try to promote World Superbikes, but without being a threat to MotoGP. It's not an easy matter.
Yeah, indeed. I really hope they do. Dorna, to be fair to them, have done a lot of work with World Superbikes over the past few years. When they took over the series for the first couple of years, they never really didn't really show much interest, but they have been working a lot to try and make it a better series. And I hope they succeed, because there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, World Superbikes not as good as it used to be. Carl Fogarty, blah 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 blah. I think World Superbikes is great. We've seen a lot of great racing this year. We've seen a lot of great racing over the past few years. People just think, oh, Jonathan Rea winning all the time, but that doesn't show the whole story. And I still think World Superbikes is a great championship, and I really do hope that, you know, Dorna can really bring it back. It's never going to be what it used to be, but hopefully they can bring it to a level where it is, you know, really, really popular again, because it's, you know, it's a great championship.
I think World Superbike has grown a lot this year in terms of popularity, in the races, in the circuits. So, yeah, I think in the end, considering where World Superbike was in 3-4 years' time,
mm-hmm.
I mean, 3-4 years' time a year ago, the work is really good. And this year, yeah, Johnny Rea will win again, but not the same as last year and 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's for sure. I mean, what we've seen on track was completely different than in the last years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think on that note, it's a nice, positive, cheery note to end on. Thank you very much for listening. If you liked what you heard, you can go and find our podcast on all the podcast places, Spotify, we've got them on Apple Podcasts, I think they're on Google Podcasts as well. Literally anywhere you can find a podcast, our podcast, Tank Slappers, will be there. And if you are on Apple Podcasts, we'd love a rating and a review, so please head there and leave one for us. We will be back again next week to talk two-wheel news. Hopefully, you know, we have the Misano race. Hopefully, we'll have some KTM news to bring you. So once again, thank you for listening, and we will catch you again soon.
The greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Protect your boats and recreational vehicles with FBP RV and Marine Antifreeze. It has burst-proof protection down to negative 50 degrees, keeping you protected against freezing temperatures. Keep your winter worry-free with FBP ready-to-use RV and Marine Antifreeze now at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of automotive products. Save